Hello, Ann.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Doing well.
There's song.
Here. There's song.
Mic test.
Song in his heart.
Can you guys hear me? Mic test?
Yep.
I can hear you.
Perfect.
We can hear you very good. Looking at my emails, see if anybody's having a problem yet. Yep. So far, it's just us three. Okay. Get this going. Time for a nap.
Yes, I'm ready. It's right after lunch, is the sleepy time.
I know. Who, way back when, who decided this is a good time for meetings?
I don't know. I kind of like how the Spanish do things.
Yes.
You know, a couple hours long siesta and main meal.
Yeah, lots of places do, countries, not ours, but shut down in the middle of the day because then you don't mind going back for another till 7 o'clock. And you're refreshed and it's healthy.
Yeah. The evening meal is not the big meal.
Yeah, you just put in the ID. It's on the agenda. This ID number, this one right here. Let me see. I'll come over and take a look. How's that?
You're presenting today, Song?
Yeah, yes, I am.
This right.
Are you also presenting the attainment status?
No.
Okay.
Not this time, it's just you.
You're on. That's the me.
Yeah.
That's me.
I can promote you. There you are. You just came on. Let me put you in. Oh, no, that's Steve. is it doing it? Oh. There you are. Let me put myself on.
Great. We're in business, huh?
So far, here comes Rich, I imagine. We'll start counting heads. What time is it? Oh, we got a few minutes. We need to change our clock in here.
I'll be right back.
to identify where there are gaps in at least our overlapping service area, permitted or not, I don't know. And then to see if there's a way to work together to encourage like battery storage rather than internal combustion generators, you know, some way to start moving us, particularly with the power shutoffs and, you know, the unpredictable flow of power. Sometimes people rush out and they buy generators. And anyway, it just seems like between the two entities, there might be a way to gradually move people to a less polluting strategy to have, you know, a power backup system. So.
Yeah, that sounds great. Rich, I know there's an advisory council meeting tonight. I don't know if that would be the appropriate channel to maybe raise that. Anything you'd say?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just remind Director Parker that these engines are subject to a state air toxics control measure already, and they are required under regulation to be phased out or at least put in newer tiers that are less polluting. So we can certainly work with Community Power and let them know, because you know, there are a lot of technologies that are available, but we have to be careful. We can't fund replacement of engines that are required under law to be changed out under the normal cost.
Got it. Well, I figure between what you know and what they have in their back or hip pockets in terms of funding or strategies, to just see where it's possible to you know, steer completely away from internal combustion engines. And of course, you, the air district and the, you know, and the state are working on, you know, less polluting. But I think between the two, we may be able to make further progress, maybe more quickly. And if they wanted to, would Monterey Bay Community Power also be precluded from funding any replacement or change out, if you will, of these engines, those that are required to be phased out or down in terms of their polluting level over time?
No, you know, as long as it's a more advanced technology, and I don't want to make less nervous about making this a new topic, but I'll raise that tonight at the Community Advisory Council meeting. And we've already talked to them about some of the cannabis operations and so forth. Because of lack of PG&E power, a lot of folks are installing these backup generators. So yeah, I'll definitely talk and I'll report back to the board. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great, thank you, Director Parker. I don't know, Rich, if now's as appropriate time as any to just acknowledge some of the transition on the board coming, some of the friendly faces we've seen for quite some time. And appreciation. So that may be coming. Is that right, Ann?
Yes, we'll be doing that in December. And I also just wanted to point out that Director Ledesma and Director Carbone have their hands up.
Okay, good. Let's go ahead to Director Ledesma first, and then we'll go.
It's not, and that's exactly what I was going to talk to you about. After 10 years, my time is up here in the city of Soledad as far as being mayor. So 20 years of service, the city, 10. I served 10 years and I was in my 30s. At 41, I went to coach high school baseball for 11 years and came back for 10 years. And I think it's been 9 or 10 years I've been on the board. It's been a wonderful experience, and I'm living with a lot of fond memories, a lot of great people that I met, including yourself, Steve, that we've had a very good relationship and have continued to. And thank you so much for everything that you do for your board, and Rich, you are one gem. The three counties have no idea what they have. I've served on other boards. This board, we had a little rough patch there for 2 or 3 years. Personnel, some of the young stuff was a little ugly and nasty, and I think we got over that. We're in a really good spot, and I just want to thank each and every one of you for the time, and just nothing but good memories. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for your service, Fred.
Thank you. You too, Jane. It was good sitting next to you and begging me every once in a while. So,
Well done. Yeah, enjoyed working with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, George.
Great. Director Carbone?
Yes, I'd like to say, Fred, it was very nice serving with you, and I'm going to miss seeing you at the mayor's meeting, one thing. But this second part of what I was wanting to say is that I sit on the MST board, and they're looking at building a new bus station down in King City and a area in Marina where they are. We have been talking as a board about with the zero emissions about looking at putting bus charging stations there. It's all going to be new construction. And so in the infrastructure where maybe we could do something like that. So with that to, you know, in the to go with zero emissions, those would be two ultimately perfectly good spots where they could do that. So I just wanted to pass that on here. Great. To this board.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Let's see. I'm just looking to see if there's anybody else has their hands up here. And you see any? Okay. Great. Well, we'll move on to the report from Rich.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I'll start off with engineering. We've been working really hard with staff at the California Air Resources Board on a new regulation that their board will be hearing and proposing to adopt tomorrow. They gave us 3 days to actually make official comments, but it's called the Criteria and Toxics Reporting Regulation. And this adds additional burden to not only area businesses in terms of work product and time and resources, but also to the air district. And of course, there's no funding built into the regulation to help us pay for the increase in costs. And so we've been pushing back pretty hard on that. They also are biting off a little bit more than we think they can chew with respect to technology and implementation time. So we anticipate that the Air Resources Board will approve and adopt the regulation. We hope that they do put the brakes on it, or at least take off their foot off the gas and do a more thoughtful approach to implementation and more phased-in approach. And that's what we've been arguing all along. Hopefully the regulation will bring in better uniformity and consistency among all the air districts. But at this point, we think it's pretty lopsided. And those large districts that are getting a lot of money to implement AB 617, the Community Air Protection Program, like the Bay Area, they're all in favor of the regulation because they've already got their money. So districts is that don't have the money, it's a problem. And so most of the districts throughout the state have submitted comment letters to ARB on this regulation. So stay tuned. If it does get implemented, we'll walk you through it at a later board meeting. In planning and air monitoring, the Monterey Bay Electric Vehicle Incentive Program has received, and we processed about 134 applications. Only five of those are low income. So we've got about 240,000 that's been obligated, and we have about 200,000 remaining. So we're things have sort of slowed down right now. I'm not sure what's going on. It could be COVID-19, it could be the end of the year. We'll probably do some more outreach to make sure we get the word out, because the program is a lot more, the incentive is higher than it was in previous years. And then speaking of incentives, our wood stove changeout program is continuing. We're offering up to $1,500 to replace a wood stove that's non-certified or a fireplace with new natural gas propane pellet or EPA certified wood stove or electric heater. If you're low income, you can receive an additional $2,000 on top of that. So that's really a robust incentive. Right now, the program's only open to low-income applicants or residents and folks that live in disadvantaged communities. We'll be opening the program up to all of the county residents, three counties, on December 7th. So that's to satisfy a requirement that we first prioritize low-income and disadvantaged communities for the change-out incentives. Also, just to mention, too, that we've been wood stove complaints. Now that we have cooler weather and people have started heating their homes with wood stoves and fireplaces and other devices. And I think part of that is that, well, it's colder, and then people seem to have a lot less tolerance for wood smoke after the summer that was sort of consumed by wildfires. So we've been jumping at the chance. We were going to have to find a better way to tap into incentive monies to replace wood stoves throughout all the region. One community comes to mind, and that's Carmel by the Sea. They've just had a rash of complaints, and the houses are built on top of one another, and a lot of them use wood heat. So that's been keeping staff busy during this last few months. We're also continuing our diesel engine equipment replacement grant program. That includes Carl Moyer Community Air Protection, our NOx remediation and farmer programs. We've delivered tractors to Mark Pura Ranch, Steinbeck County Produce, JV Farms, Stratus Leasing, and Three Generaciones License Limited Corporation. And so these are awards are based on the highest annual emission reductions and the project's proximity, once again, to disadvantaged communities and low-income areas. Our San Lorenzo Valley Seasonal Air Monitoring Network is installed, and we're starting to see concentrations of wood smoke from fireplaces and chimneys in that area. And then we also launched the Spare the Air program in San Lorenzo Valley. And so we hope to use this as a model to emulate in other areas throughout the region. So this is right now, it's voluntary, and we just encourage people when we have weather conditions such as an inversion or a lot of wood smoke, that we have people switch over to non-wood burning devices so that they don't add to the pollution that's already present. And then just on outreach, we had a really great, speaking of fireplaces and wood smoke, we had a really great article above the fold in the Monterey Herald this week, and it talked about the complaints that we've been receiving, and then also the health effects associated with burning wood. And seems like that's becoming, as I said, with the wildfires, and people are getting tired of smelling smoke. So there's a lot of sensitivity to that issue, but I'm appreciative of the press that we got around that issue. And then I just want to let you know that I've been nominated for an Agriculture Air Quality Research Task Force with the USDA. I hope to get membership on that committee. I'm not sure if that'll happen or not, especially during this transition. We'll see what happens. And then I'll be serving for another year as the outgoing president or immediate past president of the National Association of Clean Air Agencies, because the current president is retiring. So I'll be double duty. I'll be the immediate past president of ANACA. And let everybody know to have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. And that concludes my report. Be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you very much, Rich. Any questions or comments when it comes to Rich's report? I thought the press release on Spare the Air was really well put together. Let's hope we get some traction there. And then certainly congrats on your continued service at the national level. That's great. Thanks for that leadership. Members of the public, let's check in here. In case if there was anybody that had comments on that item, I don't see any. Do you, Anne? Nope. Okay, good. Well, we'll move on to the consent agenda. There's three items on the consent agenda. Is there any member of the board that would like an item pulled? Okay, seeing none. Members of the public at this point in time? Seeing none, it'll come back to the board looking for a motion.
So move, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Patello. And I got second from Parker. Okay. And if you'll call the roll.
You want to call your name? Please answer yes or no. Anthony Botello.
Aye.
Chris Lopez?
Yes.
Fred Ledesma?
Yes.
Jack Dillis?
Yes.
Jane Parker?
Yes.
John Phillips?
Yes.
Marianne Carbone?
Yes.
Ryan Coonerty?
Yep.
Steve McShane?
Yes.
Zach Friend?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Ann. Our regular agenda has one item, it is an action item, and it will be presented by Ms. Climo, and it's a report on evaluating best available retrofit control technology rule for internal combustion engines. So, Amy, the floor is yours.
Yes, actually, I'm grateful to have Song on our team. So Song is going to actually give you the presentation today. So I'll let Song go forward.
Can everyone see my presentation? Perfect. All right. Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Song. I'm here to present to you the BARCT rule for internal combustion engines. So today I'm going to discuss, give you a little background information regarding BARCT, the rule, expedited rule schedule that was adopted by the board, the difference between BARCT and BACT, and our recommendation regarding this rule. Just a quick refresher of background as to why we are developing a BARCT rule. And as you may recall, it was required by AB 617 for districts that are non-attainment for one or more criteria pollutant to adopt an expedited schedule. And which sources will be subject to this regulation? It will apply to only the industry sources subject to the cap and trade as of January 1, 2017. And those were Chevron, Lhoist, Aera, and Eagle Petroleum. So as you may have recall, we adopted Rule 441, which was the steam generator, boiler, process, and process heaters back in February of 19, 2020. And so now we are into the next phase of our schedule, which will be the internal combustion engines. So what is BARCT? Just to remind you, BARCT stands for Best Available Retrofit Control Technology, and that basically is an emission limitation that is based on the maximum degree of reduction achievable by taking into account of environmental, energy, and economic impacts. So what that means is that we take an existing piece of equipment, and the key word here is existing. So we take an existing piece of equipment and then we retrofit the equipment to achieve the maximum emission reductions possible by taking into cost and other factors. On the flip side of BACT, we have a more stringent requirement, which is called BACT. BACT stands for Best Available Control Technology. And this is also an emission limitation that will achieve the lowest achievable emission rate for that source, which is it is applied to. So basically, BACT is always more stringent than BARCT. And it is important to understand the difference between BARCT and BACT, as we are going to use that as one of our three arguments as to why the district does not believe that a BARCT rule for IC engines is needed. Now, there are two types of internal combustions that we permit here in the district, and there is the stationary and portable. Station engine is basically as what it means, designed to stay in one location or remains in one location. Then we have portable, which is designed to be moved around from one location to another. Why did I differentiate between the two? Because they are subject to different regulations. Portable diesel engines are subject to the state regulation, which is known as the Portable Airborne Toxic Control Measure. And in that regulation, portable engines are subject to a phase-out schedule depending on the tier before they have to upgrade their engines to meet the cleanest engine, which is currently right now a tier 4 final. Then we have stationary engines, which are then subject to our new source review, which you guys are very familiar of, Rule 207. And in Rule 207, they require BACT and offsets. And In addition to Rule 207, the stationary diesel engines is also subject to our toxic Rule 1010. And the goal of Rule 1010 is to limit the amount of PM emissions emitted here in our district, and that is all based upon its use, depending on emergency or prime. And then lastly, we also have a state regulation that controls toxic emissions from diesel engines, and they are subject to the State Air Toxic Hotspots Information Assessment Act, also known as AB 2588. The goal of AB 2588 is to identify the facilities that have impacts, collect their emissions, calculate their emissions, and prioritize them based upon their risk. And if the risk is high, we then subject them to reduce those significant risks to acceptable levels. So this leads to my second argument as to why a barked rule is unnecessary, is because we all have these existing programs in place to ensure that the emissions from engines are being controlled and reduced. Now, if we do decide to create a barked rule, how many engines would it be subject to? So we create our database of those four AB 617 sources, and we found that only 8 diesel engines from these 4 applicable sources will be subject. 2 of those 8 are stationary engines, and they already meet BACT requirements. So BACT, again, to remind you, BACT is always more stringent than BART. And then of those 8, 6 are portable engines. And again, portable engines are subject to phase out schedule before they have to upgrade to tier 4 finals. Staff then calculated the emissions from all these engines. And we discovered that based upon the 3-year data, we calculated the emissions of for NOx to be about 0.53 tons per year, and for VOC, 0.13 tons VOC per year. And we determined that these emissions are insignificant when compared to the 2015 emissions inventory, which equates to about 39 tons of NOx per day, which is roughly 14,000 tons of NOx per year, and on 59 tons of VOC per day, which is about 21,500 tons per year. Thus, if we do create a barked rule for IC engines, the emission reductions from these 8 engines will not significantly reduce the emissions from our 2015 inventory. So in summary, as to why a barked rule engine is not needed, majority of our permitted engines are subject to the portable engines, which requires them to be phased out. A new rule would actually only apply to one stationary emergency engine, but that already meets BACT. And lastly, the most important one, we are being proposed to be designated as attainment for our State 8R ozone standard. And this is great proof to the board that our current programs and the work that we do here do work, and that we are achieving our main goal here as a district. So staff recommends to the board to adopt a resolution which requires no further action to implement a barked rule for internal combustion engines. And that concludes my presentation, and I will be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Song. Any members of the board have questions for Song?
Mr. Chair, I have my hand up, and I have a question. I was interested in that table that showed that the portable, or most of the portable devices, averaged 0 NOx or VOC emissions over the last 3 years or 4 years. Is that because they don't get used, or are they just like incredibly efficient, or what's the explanation for that?
Yes. Were you going to take that, Mary?
So these are drill rigs, and there have been no oil drilling in South Monterey County, so they have not been used.
Okay. And so in order to proceed with this determination, we don't have to check them to see what their emissions are when they're being used. I mean, do you just can you rev up those engines and see how efficient they are, or is that not possible, or is that not the way it works?
So there's also, as Song mentioned, the ATCM. So these units have to also meet those tier standards too. So they cannot be tier ones. It's possible they could be tier twos, but those have to be replaced in the next upcoming years too. So they're all going to be meeting at a minimum tier threes and tier fours very shortly here. So they too are also regulated.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks. Further questions here? The only thing I would say is what you'd reference 2015 and how there was this just dramatic drop off, based on previous years this may have been looked at. How is that explained?
So that 2015 emissions inventory, that's our emissions of all the activities here in the district, from off-road emissions, the mobile sources, stationary source. So what I was trying to get to the point is that if we were to create a BARC rule, that the emission reductions from these eight engines wouldn't necessarily achieve a really significant reduction when compared to our overall emission profile.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, we'll take it to the public unless there are any other questions. So let's see. And you see anybody, you received any emails on this? No. Okay. So we'll bring it back to the board. We are looking for a motion and a second on this item.
I'll make a motion, Steve, to approve it.
Okay. So moved by Director Ledesma. Is there a second?
Second, Phillips.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Ann, let's go ahead and call the roll.
Okay. Anthony Botello?
Yes.
Chris Lopez?
Yes.
Fred Ledesma?
Yes.
Matt Dillis?
Yes.
Jane Parker?
Aye.
John Phillips?
Aye.
Marianne Carbone?
Aye.
Ryan Coonerty?
Aye.
Steve McShane?
Yes.
Zach Friend?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. Great job, Song. Thank you. Our next portion of the agenda is closed session. Directors should have received a link.
Chair, I just resent the link to the closed session before the director's meeting, just so everybody would be sure to get it. It should be entitled closed session. So we can log off of this meeting and then log into the meeting invite I sent. And there, I don't believe there will be any reportable action out of this closed session.
Okay.
So the meeting will just adjourn out of closed session.
All right. That sounds good. So we'll reconvene in closed session just momentarily here. Thank you very much. And we'll see you next month at our regularly scheduled meeting.